Hello and welcome to another episode of the SWP Podcast, bringing you the latest from the German Institute for International and Security Affairs in Berlin. This is a series about what's on the minds of policymakers, or at least should be on their minds, when it comes to the most pressing global issues of the day. Today, we're looking at what's going on with the Turkish lira. The currency has been in freefall. No matter how many times President Recep Tayyip Erdogan sacks his country's central bank chief, the lira can't seem to catch a break. Nor can the Turkish people. Long before the United States and the European Union started seeing inflation themselves, prices in Turkey were going through the roof, with valuations fluctuating dramatically, seemingly overnight. That's not just an economic problem, but a major political and geopolitical one as well. So, how did we get here, and what's the outlook? All that and more today on the SWP Podcast. I'm William Gluecroft, a journalist based in Berlin, and I'm joined today by two great guests. First, we have Kadri Tastan. He's an IPC Stiftung Mercator Fellow at the SWP Center for Applied Turkey Studies. There, his work focuses on energy, climate, and EU-Turkey relations. In conversation with Kadri is also Wolf Piccoli, co-president of Political Risk Advisory at Teneo, a global CEO advisory firm. Welcome to you both to the podcast.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kadri, let's start with you. A very simple question that probably has a very complicated answer. What is happening in Turkey?
Well, thank you, William. What we have seen happening since last November in Turkey can be characterized as a currency crisis. The Turkish lira has lost more than 45% of its value against the dollar in 2021. So, contrary to the President Erdogan's unorthodox view that the lower interest rates are necessary to bring down inflation, this monetary policy is causing investors to flee from lira and the value of lira to fall and pushing up inflation.
How did we get here?
The country has gone through severe political turbulences, which have coincided with instability in the region, such as the war in Syria, which affected enormously Turkey. All this to say, when the coronavirus pandemic struck, Turkey was already suffering from a record depreciation of the lira and a depletion of foreign exchange reserves of the central bank, as well as from double-digit inflation for previous 2 years. Of course, the pandemic has deepened the country's economic difficulties, and fortunately, the monetary policy conducted by central bank made the things worse.
So a very delicate balance here of foreign relations, domestic politics, regional instability. I feel like, though, there's something even deeper here that might explain the why. And for that, I want to turn over to Wolf. Wolf, why is this happening? Why do we see this depreciation of the lira in Turkey?
It is a self-inflicted crisis, largely driven by President Erdogan's desire to keep the economy running hot, therefore privileging growth over else. But is a low quality growth, is a growth that is induced by cheap credit, thereby the need for the central bank to cut the interest rates. Cheap credit also provided by the Turkish Finance Ministry with a variety of other initiatives. This is an experiment that Turkey has tried in the past, didn't work. Now they are trying even harder, causing much more damage, and it will not work. And meanwhile, there is a huge social economic issue, because with inflation now at 36%, projected to reach 50% plus by March, everyday life for the ordinary Turkish citizen has become very difficult.
Can you get into more detail there? What is everyday life like for regular people in Turkey? How is this impacting people?
Well, with inflation running officially at 36%, and by the way, nobody in Turkey believes this figure is correct. There are some estimates provided by alternative sources, credible alternative sources, putting inflation almost double than that. It's difficult to plan your financial life. You don't have visibility on where the lira is the day after. So if you are a business, you are selling your goods abroad, but you need to import stuff to produce these goods. So and the cost of these imports changes by day. And if you are just an ordinary citizen, you have seen food prices skyrocketing. You have seen transportation prices skyrocketing and also energy like everywhere else as well. So it's becoming much more difficult for everybody to try to plan their financial life. And this is something that Turkey has seen in the past. And so the good part of the Turks are they know how to deal with this despite the significant pain they have to go through.
Okay, so people might be somewhat used to it or they have, you know, some experience, they're prepared for it. Still, this has to, as you say, this has tremendous impact on business. Wolf, business is politics. I mean, this has to have blowback on the politics if business is unhappy, if business is unable to you know, do their job every day.
The big business in Turkey has already asked to the government on a variety of occasions to go back to orthodoxy, basically. These requests have been ignored, if not stigmatized, by Erdogan himself. In the opinion polls, we have seen the government suffering. This suffering has been going on for some time. And that is why Erdogan now is trying to launch what he calls a new economic model, which is neither new nor a model. It's just basically making policy off the cuff, on the go, to try to boost his fortunes. But what is somewhat paradoxical here, that while he's trying to do that, those who are suffering the most are actually his own hardcore base of voters, the lower income families that are now facing inflation at 36% plus, and they are struggling to make it to the end of the month. So not only this will not work economically, but there is also a huge question mark whether it will work politically for Erdogan.
And yet, Kadri, Erdogan is still in power. He's sticking to these kind of economic policies. What is he trying to do, or his government trying to do, to get Turkey out of this seemingly downward spiral?
The government has resorted to both declared and undeclared interventions by central bank and bank to support the lira. The central bank has responded to the pressure on the lira by selling large amount of foreign currency, thereby deflating its reserves. But this intervention did not stop the nosedive. And when the lira reached its historical low on December 20, President Erdogan announced a new support plan for Turkish lira that would link the value of certain bank deposits in Turkish lira to the dollar rate. So the state undertakes to reimburse any losses that people may incur as a result of the fall of the lira. Actually, this proposal aims to encourage Turkish citizens to hold on their lira rather than to convert it to dollar. And this plan has initially allowed a significant recovery of the lira against the dollar, but yet much of this momentum has been reversed and the lira is losing value again. So not like maybe we saw in December, but the lira is not stabilized yet. So this is a cyclical measure that does not address the structural challenges. Again, it seems that this measure announced by President Erdogan alone did not stop the free fall of the lira. There were also large amount of foreign currency exchanged by a central bank to support it. So next few months will be important to see the real impact of this new measure.
Right. All those measures sound like they're treating the symptoms, not the actual illness. Wolf, do you feel like that's an accurate statement? And if so, what are the solutions to the structural problems that Kadri is talking about?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What the government is doing is tricks to gain time. So you launch these kind of schemes, you try to get some swap deals from friendly countries like the UAE or Qatar in the past. But the bottom line here is there is no credibility. There is no backstop. The Central Bank of Turkey has lost credibility. And everybody knows that the shots are called by Erdogan. So what can you do to try to fix this? is very simple. First, Erdogan should stop talking about monetary policy. That will be a huge gain. Secondly, the central bank should be allowed to do the job that it's supposed to do, control inflation. The mandate of the Central Bank of Turkey is to keep inflation below 5% per year. This is a target that has been missed for longer than I want to remember. So a return to orthodoxy. What will mean? Raising interest rates at this point by more than 15 percentage points, which obviously for the economy, the real economy, would be very painful, but that would help to regain credibility. Is there a sign that the government is remotely considering what I just outlined? No, no way. They are doubling down on this economic experiment. The question here, and Kadri alluded to that, is for how long is sustainable? There are no reserves in the central bank left. And so sooner or later, they're going to hit the wall. And the question is whether they will move ahead before hitting the wall or they're going to eat the wall. And then the question becomes how painful is going to be for everybody.
And I want to get more into that. But before that, I'm just trying to wrap my head around why Erdogan seems so obsessed with involving himself in monetary policy, why he's so obsessed with low interest rates. It seems so politically counterintuitive. It seems like such a huge risk to him politically. Kadri, what is his motivation here?
Well, basically, he thinks that the lower interest rates will boost investment, production, and employment. He's concerned that the higher interest rates will slow down the economy and fuel population discontent in the run-up of the election in 2023. Therefore, under the guidance of presidency, the central bank is pursuing a policy of lower interest, which is a loose monetary policy, a credit policy to boost the economic growth. So he's hoping that with the lower rate and lower borrowing costs, the cheap credit will stimulate the economy and improve his popular support. But with this policy of low interest rates, perhaps there is also a hope to break this high dependence on the short-term capital flows. The high interest rates of the recent years have obviously had a negative impact on investment and economy in general. But the deposit rates and the lending rates are not low today in Turkey. They are much higher despite the reduction of the interbank interest rates. So the monetary policy is not even reducing the interest rates for individual or investors in Turkey.
You mentioned, Kadri, the magic word, elections, 2023. It seems like Erdogan might be in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. You raise interest rates, as Wolf said, you're going to do a lot of harm to the real economy. You keep interest rates low, you're stuck in this situation that we've seen for a long time. How do the domestic politics and Erdogan's political prospects factor in to this situation that Turkey is facing? I want to get maybe both of your takes, maybe turn it over to Wolf first for his thoughts.
It's all about the election. It's not just an election. This is the election that will decide the fate of Erdogan at the end of the day. And he doesn't have a plan B. The only plan A is to win the election. And this is about the presidential election. The parliamentary election are less important. What Erdogan is betting on is achieving double-digit growth with this artificially inflated growth, hoping that inflation will be lower than it is now because of the base effect in 1 year down the line, which is a possibility. And then meanwhile, focusing on the 50% of the voters he cares. When Erdogan looks at the electorate in Turkey, he cares about the core base of the AK Party, roughly speaking, 50% of the electorate. These are the people that will see potential economic aid coming from the finance ministry. We have seen that in the past. And that is not just for individuals, but also is for companies, SMEs, you know, the companies who are traditionally closer to the AK Party than others. So it's a very kind of targeted bet. I don't think it will pay off. Having said that, when we look at the opposition, because we need to look at the opposition here, I still haven't seen a plan for the economy from the opposition either. So we know Erdogan had ideas. We know that they are kind of crazy. But it's not that the opposition here, which is, has seen an improvement in the opinion polls, but mainly because of the misfortune of the AK Party, not because of its own merit. And especially on the economic front, we haven't seen anything from the opposition yet. They're apparently been working on a plan for some time. All of this to say one thing, Erdogan is struggling, but we cannot write him off. I think it would be foolish, considering there is still more than a year to go, to assume that the Erdogan era in Turkey is over. If I had to put my money right today, I will still put my money on Erdogan winning, frankly.
And hopefully your money is in a currency other than the lira.
Absolutely.
Kadri, this political base that Wolf is mentioning, the people that really have traditionally been behind Erdogan, do you see them sticking by him?
We should recall that AKP came to power after a huge economic and financial crisis in Turkey in 2001. So this collective memory is there. And AKP did a huge economic and political reforms. And it permitted to AKP to win all the elections that followed. So in this case, this new economic situation crisis is a huge threat, obviously, to the President Erdogan. And we see already in the polls, his popularity is decreasing. But as I said, I agree with Wolf, we should be careful to decide who will win the election. It's too early to say.
Wolf, what does this do to Erdogan as a politician? Does it make him more predictable, less predictable? What can we expect to see out of Erdogan, if we can even make a prediction?
I think Turkey has been unpredictable for some time, both in terms of domestic, economic, and foreign policy. And this is not going to change. This is an election year. So everything that Erdogan will do is about boosting his popularity and meanwhile trying to divide the opposition. So there will be attempts to divide the opposition by attacking one or the other, legally, politically, whatever, using the media. Erdogan still controls 90% of the media in Turkey. We will see some tweaking of the electoral system to maximize the chances of Erdogan alliance to do better in the next election. We will see potentially some revision of constituency boundaries, electoral laws. Social media law is already in the pipeline to crack down on basically people telling the Turks actually the truth and not what the Turks are hearing, which is something different from what the Turks are hearing from most of the Turkish media. And meanwhile, blame everybody else for what is going on wrong in Turkey, from the US to the EU, Germany, you pick and choose, Israel. Depending on the day, you have different kind of enemy. On the foreign policy front, I think the only area where Erdogan can try to boost his popularity, if needed, by adventurism is in the East Med. There is not much that Turkey can do in the Middle East at this point. In Syria, the Russians control the airspace. It's difficult for Erdogan to do something there. And actually, they need to be very careful about what happens in Syria because that could create a new refugee crisis in Turkey. So the only area where Erdogan could do steer the kind of the tensions is in the East Med, like he's been doing in the past, trying to boost his popularity. Generally, what we have seen, this foreign policy initiative, the boost that you get is very temporary. But still, I wouldn't rule it out. That is the only area. In terms of the EU and the U.S., the relationship, as Kadri alluded at the very start of this podcast, have been suffering for a long time. I don't think from the U.S. side there is any interest in engaging with Erdogan significantly, apart from selected issue. So it's a very transactional relationship. As for the EU, the relationship is comatose, and I don't think either side cares to bring back the patient to life.
That's not a very bright picture that Wolf paints. Kadri, do you want to pick up on any of that? I mean, Turkey is not a small country. It's actually very influential, has a lot of significance for the European Union, for the United States, for us here in Germany specifically. What does the domestic situation economically or politically, and what Erdogan is facing in Turkey, what does that mean for the rest of us outside of Turkey who have to work with the country?
As you said, as an emerging market, Turkish economy is significant. So Turkey is also an important trading partner for European countries, especially for countries like Germany, Italy, etc. So it's normal that the difficult economic situation affect the neighbors and also trade partners. But the fear would be rather if a currency crisis turns into a financial crisis. So this will certainly have much more serious repercussion on other emerging markets, countries, and in the region, but also on the European countries. A financial crisis could have a direct impact on the European economy, mainly through the exposure of its banks operating in Turkey and through the trade actually with Turkey. Many European banks have a large loan exposure to Turkey. But there will be also political ramification of an economic crisis in Turkey for the region and for the Europeans. Turkey is hosting more than 4 million of migrants, and a difficult economic situation increased the tensions between the local population and the migrants. So this issue is also instrumentalized, unfortunately, by some politicians. So all this can push the migrants to leave Turkey and try to reach Europe, and which will, of course, result in tension between the Turkey and the European countries. So severe economic situation can also motivate also more and more Turkish citizens to leave Turkey, and which is maybe a bit the case with the young population, educated population especially.
I'm going to challenge both of you to end this episode on a hopeful note. I want to hear something hopeful, something we can maybe look forward to. Maybe we don't know what's going to happen, but where do you see are some possibilities here, some opportunities here, whether it's with Turkey itself domestically or Turkey and its relationship with other countries around the world? Let's get both of yours slightly more optimistic take, if I can.
Turkey has not really reached the point of non-return. It's not Venezuela. Turkey has got a viable economy, a large economy, 84 million people. The average age of the Turkish citizen is around 28. Has got a very vital and important export industry. And some of the fundamentals of Turkey, the economic fundamentals, are actually better than a variety of emerging markets of similar sizes. Public debt to GDP, for example. And this is a country which I don't think we should underestimate that has seen more than 20 IMF programs. So this is a country where businesses and even the citizen, they know how to survive through this economic and political turmoil. And as I said before, it will take the decision of one man, in this case Erdogan, to turn things around, because there is still an upside in Turkey. But the problem here is the individual. And on top of that, I think the longer-term problem is the institutional degradation the country has been suffering over the last 10 years. When we were comparing Turkey to lots of other emerging markets in the past, Turkey stood out because some of the key institutions, the central bank, the treasury, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, finance ministry, they were all run by competent people. That competence is now disappeared. And that fixing this will take quite a bit of time, even in the most optimistic scenario.
All right, that's somewhat hopeful to hear. Kadri, over to you. How do you see things possibly turning out okay?
What is needed is a long-term strategy with sometimes maybe very painful recipes that will resolve the country's structural problems and put the economy back on track. With relatively low public debt ratio to 40%, there is a fiscal space for government to support the various sector of the economy and unemployed, particularly the more vulnerable households and companies during this difficult period. But a huge effort is needed to rebuild the confidence in countries, in country and outside the country for investors in government's economic policy. But the confidence building goes beyond the economic sphere, and the political stability and the rule of law have a huge role to play in this confidence building, I think.
It is a long road ahead for Turkey, and Turkey observers such as you two, I'm sure, is certainly longer than we have time for now. We're going to have to leave this episode of the SWP podcast here for today. But let me thank my guests so much for their very valuable insights on this topic. We have SWP's Kadri Tastan and Wolf Piccoli from Teneo, an advisory firm. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And if you liked what you heard today, check out SWP's podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, or visit the SWP website. That's swp-berlin.org. where you can also learn more about the German Institute for International and Security Affairs. I'm William Gluecroft. Until next time, thanks for listening.